mean, if you got any sensitivity at all, you can tell that things are not what they used to be. And I'm not talking about, you know, oh, mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be kind of thing. But I'm talking about everybody's kind of looking forward to things returning to norm. But I want to tell you that there's not going to be a norm. As soon as things seem normal again, it's going to be a big change. Change is imminent, and it's speeding up. And, you know, we're saying, several people have said it to me, and I've experienced it myself, that it seems like we just go from weekend to weekend. And it was really hard during the, when we were shut down during the corona time, because, and I know it's not completely over with yet, but it was really hard when we were staying in because you didn't have that sense of closure of the week. And so it just seemed like we just went, just a continuous going, and nothing seemed to fit in. No day, every day seemed like no day. And I just want to say to you that as soon people are thinking that we're going to get back to our normal routine, and we're going to come to a place where, because we're made like that. God made us creatures of habit, so to speak. We have times and we have seasons and we have cycles and we have, appointments and we have clocks and walls and fences and things that kind of help steer us through life to help us kind of get our bearing. That's what we have. And we like that. And we can settle down and kind of get in ruts. But we've entered into a time now where because the days are shorter, and Jesus said, except those days be shorter, even the elect would be deceived. And so we believe that the Lord has condensed the days and consequently the weeks and the months. I mean, here we are. It's already, we're past the middle of the year. We're going into July, you all. Can you believe that? We're going into July. June is the middle of the year, and we're moving over into July. And so we're moving swiftly, and we're racing toward the end of time as we know it. And consequently, everybody's saying, well, as soon as things get back to normal, then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to be more committed to this. Or I'm going to be more committed to that. Well, we're in a season and we're in a time where things are not going to get back to normal. Church is not even going to get back to normal. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that by your Spirit, you open the eyes of our understanding and you open, Lord God, our ears that we may hear. Lord, that we won't settle down and just the word just fall on hard ground and not take root. Lord, but that your people would be doers of the word and not hearers only. That may the word take root. May they receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. And we thank you, Lord God, for the salvation of souls this morning. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign. Have your way today. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've already quickened me according to your word. And so I ask that your people be quickened and made alive and attentive and sober and vigilant to discern the times, to know what they should be doing. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Amen. I kind of feel like that as I'm talking, especially with the volume, it's like my voice goes down a couple of octaves. Before I know it, if I'm not careful, I'll be, how y'all doing out there today? At least that's what it sounds like to me. And so I'm trying to keep it up a little higher. But I have a heavy voice, and it, for whatever reason, I'm taking a new medication, and it dries makes my mouth dry out. And the drier it gets, the lower it gets. And so if by the time we close up, if I say, everybody get up from here, you all just understand it's the medication, okay? It's not Bishop Margaret. I'm not turning into a man, okay? Okay. 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 It's not testosterone. Praise God. We started a series last week. Actually, I started it on when we were teaching from home, but actually last week was really part one of the series that I'm doing now, and it's about preparing yourselves, preparing yourselves for what lies ahead, preparing yourselves, and God really wants the church to get ready. God really wants you to prepare yourself, and to prepare yourself means to make yourself ready. I want us to look in the book of Hebrews. We didn't get to Hebrews last week, but we're going back over to Revelation where we left off last week. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we want to look at verse 6. And we want to, I believe all ministers are called to prepare the bride and to help make her ready for her Lord. But the Lord gave me a specific assignment to help make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And we have to be prepared for him, because if we're not prepared, we can possibly be left behind. Remember, there were five wise virgins and there were five foolish virgins, and they were all virgins, and they all thought that they were prepared for the bridegroom, and they all were supposed to be waiting for the bridegroom, but five of them were not ready and were left behind. And the five that were prepared, when the bridegroom came, the door was open, they went in, and the door was slammed. And the others, I say slammed, it was just probably closed. Either way, they got shut out. And they came hollering, "Let us in, let us in." And you know what Jesus said? "Depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you." And so I want you to know that side by side, the false church and the true church coexist. Side by side, they look alike. They may act alike, but one of them is pretending. One of them is pretending to have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. One of them is pretending to have love. One of them is pretending to be kind. One of them is pretending to be patient. The other one is really producing that fruit. That fruit of the Spirit is really emanating from their spirit. And so I want you to know that they exist side by side. Listen, the wheat and the tares grew together, side by side. The wise and the foolish virgins, they were both together. The Lord said, "Wait until the harvest time, and I'll allow the angels to go in and separate the wheat from the tares." And so I want you to know that you can't judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but you've got to judge by the discerning of the spirit. And so we want to make sure that we are prepared, because you can think you're prepared, and yet you can be a part of that great harlot who is sitting in the second heaven, who thinks that she is a prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess, so she considers herself a part of the church, the real church, but she's a part of the apostate church. And we don't want to have anything to do with her, and yet we'll see in the book of Revelation, God's people are mixed in with her. And so we want to make a distinction to make sure that you're not confused, living your life in such a way that you believe that if Jesus came back tonight, if the rapture horn blew tonight, you think that you're living in such a way that you would be caught up. Because you will not, if you are not a part of the bride who has made herself ready, the bride who has prepared herself. You can live a lie. You can live in such a way that you fool your own self and believe your own lie. And so you've got to bear fruit. Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. You've got to bear fruit. That is that a fly or what is it? If it's a gnat, it's a big old gnat. But you know, I get it. I get a little I get it. A little bit of this and a little bit of that, but I'll get it. I'll get it. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Look with me at chapter 11. Look with me at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who got a half a mind to seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God every day? Or are you seeking your own interest? Are you seeking the things that make you happy? And I'm telling you that that won't last long, because you never will find the things that can give you joy. You might be happy for a moment, but you won't have that joy. And the only way you're going to get that joy is to diligently seek him. He says in verse 7, for by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah moved, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. God has been divinely warning the church of things not yet seen, but we are now beginning to see them. He who has ears to hear and eyes to see, we're beginning to see the signs of the end of the age. Are we not? If you are not seeing the signs of the end of the age, you have been blinded by the God of this world, the God of this age, because we are seeing the signs of the times. We're beginning to see, and God is divinely warning his people to prepare yourselves. Get ready. More than anything, you've got to get your mind ready. You've got to get your spirit ready. Your spirit is not going to be ready if you don't prepare your mind. The last time I taught this message, I taught you about having the conversations that are necessary. Have those conversations. First of all, with yourself. Am I ready to meet my maker? Is it well with my soul? Judge yourselves. The word of God says, if you don't judge yourself, you will be judged. So it's time to take inventory. And we need to do this periodically. We don't need to say, well, I judged myself. You know, I did that about 5 or 6 years ago. I'm doing pretty good. No, uh-uh. You need to judge yourself. In fact, your own spirit, your own conscience, the Bible says, is that part of your being which either accuses or excuses you. So your own conscience will accuse you. Soon as you tell a lie, before you tell a lie, your conscience will accuse you. Say, don't say that. Amen. Once you plead the blood and ask God to forgive you, your conscience will excuse you. So it's a part of your being that accuses or excuses you. Once you ask God to forgive you and you keep on feeling condemned, that's not your conscience. That's the accuser of the brethren. That's a lying spirit. That's the devil messing with you. But you're living in a time now where you've got to judge yourself in light of the word. Am I hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to me? Am I seeing the signs of the time? Am I getting my life in order? Am I having the conversations that I need to have? Am I taking care of business? So you got to take care of business. You got to renew your mind with the word of God, because things are conversion. I said last time, I said our constitution is systematically being dismantled just right before our eyes. As we see a lot of things going on, we see all of this stuff going on, all of the marching and the Black Lives Matter. And we're looking at all these people being murdered. And I don't ever want to take away from the value of a human life. I don't ever want to preach in such a way that the life, the precious life that was taken out of George Floyd, he had a right to live. It didn't make any difference what his past was. God gave him life, and no man had the right to take his life away from him. No man had that right. It was wrong. But we see people being murdered on the streets. We see people now there's a system of hangings going on. I don't know if you all realize it, but people are being hung. Some people are saying it's lynching. There are spirits behind this. You look at it and you think, what in the world is going on? You have the coronavirus, and then you have the racism, and you have the rioting, and you have the food shortages, and all of this is interconnected. But what you don't see is behind the scene, as I say, for the most part, things are not the way that they appear. There is a group of ungodly men, billionaires and trillionaires, who are financing this. They are financing. When there's a riot, there are a group of professional rioters that are paid by George Soros and the Illuminati. There are a group of professional rioters that go in among the people who are protesting, and these are the ones who are burning down businesses. These are the ones that are taking it further than what the rioters intended for it to go. And they're being paid. And they follow the breadcrumbs. They go from city to city, and they go to stir up. But President Trump told them publicly, he said, don't think that you're going to come to Tulsa and do this. He said, we're going to deal with it real quick, real quick. That's what he said. He said, I'll have the National Guards ready for you. We got, come on over here and think you're going to act a fool. I got something for you. People hated his guts for saying it. They tried to act a fool a little bit, but they shut him down real quick. And he had his rally, and nobody got killed in Tulsa last night. Because they knew who they were dealing with. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there are some ungodly things going on in behind the scene in the natural. There are people. What is that group that you were talking about? Antifa. Antifa is also involved in this rioting and in this Black Lives Matters. We need to understand that these people are infiltrated, and they are a terrorist group. They are as much terrorists as terrorists who come from Iran or Iraq. But they are here in this country, and these people are infiltrated. And so then you sit and look at the news, which is a part of the Illuminati. They are being paid by the liars. They're being paid by the haters. They're being paid to lie. Don't you think it's strange that not one major news station covered the speech last night, with the exception of Fox News? ABC, CBS, NBC, none of them covered the Tulsa rally last night. Yet they were so quick to talk about the coronavirus spreading. A whole lot of this. And I believe the coronavirus is real. Somebody did start that virus. Somebody is using that virus. I really do believe it. People are dying from it. People are losing their lives from it. But I believe that senior citizens have been targeted, because they are considered, whether you know it or not, you're considered by the Illuminati and all of these other groups, you're considered non-productive eaters. You're taking up space. It's time for you to be moved out of the way, purged. They really want, I was listening to this the other night, they want six billion people wiped off of the earth. 6 billion. They want 6 billion people to be wiped off of the earth, purged. You talk about a God complex. Who do you think you are that you want to remove that many people? They feel like it's too many non-productive people living on planet Earth. And so they consider us, they consider black people trash, poor white people trash, they consider brown people trash, immigrants trash, old people trash, people with disabilities trash, and so they want to wipe you off of the earth. If you're uneducated, they consider you trash. And then on top of that, you've got these covens of witches. Covens of witches. Like every Sunday, I say covens, covens. Now, what is it? Covens. Y'all just change it up every week. Y'all get add a different noun to it. Covens. Ovens, covens. Okay, I got you. Covens. Witches. Some of them are black. I received those pictures from Elder D. But I want to read something to you. This is going on today. This is going on today. So I want to read something to you. I want you to stay with me. It's important that you hear this. Satanic marches planned in U.S. cities this weekend, June 21st. That's today. Lord, we thank you that we are aware of these plans in advance so that we can counter the counterfeit with your truth. Your truth, Jesus. His work on the cross is complete. Now listen to this. A Luciferian march for a one world government will be held in at least 22 U.S. cities on June 21st during the solar eclipse. Now, what day is today? June 21st during the solar eclipse. More cities are being added as they attempt to make this a nationwide, worldwide movement by appealing to Satan for empowering the one world government. A worldwide live stream, listen to this, a worldwide live stream of the Stonehenge satanic ceremonies is also being planned for the first time ever. They are live streaming it, Minister Richard, for the first time ever. A satanic live stream of Stonehenge satanic ceremonies is being live streamed today. Summer solstice is a high holiday for Luciferians, as many of their rituals are related to lunar and solar cycles. Lunar is the moon. This year's summer solstice also coincides with a ring of fire solar eclipse event where the moon will cover the sun and create the appearance of fire. I dreamed about that sun. The marches are intended to create chaos, and it has been speculated by some that demonstrators may even try to erect satanic monuments at existing sites where the Confederate and other allegedly racist statues have been torn down. You all hearing this? How shocking that we are in a state that Luciferians would be so open and bold to march in public. Prayer is needed to put a covering on the parts of our nation where boots will be on the ground. Let us act in the opposite spirit of chaos, darkness, and oppression that this march seeks to bring. It's seeking to bring chaos, darkness, and oppression. These people are literally praying and fasting and offering sacrifices to Lucifer. And somebody was saying to me, I don't know if Bishop Ralph or Crystal was saying to me, don't make any mistake about it. Abortion is a part of blood sacrifice. They're using the blood of these aborted babies to offer sacrifices to Satan. I don't like to call him Lucifer. They're drinking the blood of these innocent babies. They're offering sacrifices, and they're doing this today particularly. It says, intercessors rise up in worship, prayer, fasting, and even marching in the streets to proclaim the good news of Christ. It says, these are the cities, and I'm just going to give you a list of them very quickly. These are the cities or the sites hosting Luciferian marches at 5 p.m. Sunday, June 21st. Others will be named as we hear about it. And this is from Intercessors of America. Raleigh, North Carolina. Jacksonville, Florida. Cincinnati, Ohio. New York City. Niagara Falls. Buffalo, New York. Jerusalem, Israel. Salem, Oregon. Los Angeles, California. Madison, Wisconsin. Buffalo, New York. Albany, New York. Phoenix, Arizona. Toronto, Ontario. Washington, D.C. Syracuse, New York. Anchorage, Alaska. Las Vegas, Nevada. Reno, Nevada. Goodale Park, Ohio. Rochester, New York. Lincoln, Nebraska. Boston, Massachusetts. It says the lawlessness and the chaos continues to manifest throughout the United States and now in multiple places worldwide. Believers need to rise up and pray and take stand against this onslaught of the enemy. We are reminded by the Lord that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world. They are fasting for this self-destruction. When you see all of this violence on TV, you need to know that there are powers, there are principalities, there are rulers, there are Luciferians, there are Satanists, there are witches fasting for this. And so we're seeing the outward manifestation of what they're doing. And these people are being controlled like puppets. Why? We're living in the last hour. My little children, John said, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they may be made manifest, that none of them are of us. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you all know the truth. You have an anointing. You're going to have to live by this unction. You're going to have to live by this anointing. If you're not careful, you'll marry one of these witches. If you're not careful, you'll be dating one of these warlocks. If you don't pay attention to that unction, that something on the inside of you, God gave you that unction so that you would know something about this person is not right. If you don't feel good about that person, don't you join Christ to Belial. Don't you join light to darkness. Don't do it because it will ruin your life. It will literally ruin your life. Brothers and sisters, they're marching at 5 p.m. today, but we're already praying. We've already gone ahead in intercession. We're praying, and we're praying in unity. And we want you to be praying to the best of your ability. If you can at 5 o'clock today, you go ahead and pray because we got you covered. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. We cover you. Bishop pleads the blood of Jesus over you as our prayers literally release angels because there are some battles we cannot fight. But listen, we have authority. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He says, nothing shall by any means harm you. I give you authority so we can deal with these little devils, serpents and scorpions, demons around us. But there are some big boys in the second heaven. There are some big boys that we can't deal with by ourselves. But we don't have to. All we got to do is pray. When men on earth pray, There's power in prayer, praying the word of God and releasing your authority, praying. Listen, they're above us in the second heaven, but we are above them, seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, positionally. We are above them. We're looking down on them. And so as those who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we need to release the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and allow the high praises of God to be in our mouth. For praise will literally still the enemy. Praise will literally stop the enemy. And the word is a sword, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word will pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. But there's a lot of activity going on up in that second heaven. And so I want to tell you that there are people here on earth that they think they're a part of the true church, but they're not a part of the true church. They are a part of the false church. And so let's go over back to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 17. And we're going to again begin to show you some things about what's going on in that second heaven. Give you a minute to get over there. Revelation chapter 17. Not going to spend a whole lot of time in chapter 17 because we did that the last time and we want to get over to Revelation chapter 18. So I'm going to very quickly read through Revelation chapter 17, just a few verses. Look at 17 and 1. Then one of the, this is talking about the scarlet woman and the scarlet beast. And this word scarlet means red, a deep red. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. This great harlot is the apostate church, but it's not just the false church alone. We're going to see it in just a few minutes. But in the second heaven, above us, as far as us living here on the earth, but we are above this harlot in Christ. Y'all understand this? But she's got her kingdom set up in the second heaven. And she, the Bilderbergs, George Soros, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, all of these secret societies, they think that they're in control. But this Jezebel, this great harlot, is controlling them. Okay, I will show you, this harlot is a great harlot. And the Bible says she sits on many waters. Many waters represents many people. And the Bible is symbolic of many people, the face of many multitudes of people. And it says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication with this great big old harlot sitting up in the second heaven. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication with her, but the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, I want to make this word fornication clear. It's called poyuno. It says compared to pornographic. Or pornography, to engage in illicit sexual intercourse, to be unfaithful, to play the harlot, to prostitute oneself. The word is used literally in a group of scriptures there, and then it says it's used metaphorically to describe spiritual fornication, that is idolatry. I want everybody to say spiritual fornication. Is idolatry. Spiritual fornication is idolatry. Now, let me tell you this. The Bible says the idol is anything. Anything that you worship. Satan wants your worship. Anything that you worship and put up more than God, you can be your own idol. Anything that you put up above God, whatever you give yourself to more than God, can and more than likely is an idol. Most people, a lot of people, worship money. That's why Jesus said no man can serve two masters. Talking about mammon. He said either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and another God. You cannot serve two gods. There's only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So you're going to be totally devoted to something. There's something in man that's got to worship or be devoted to something higher than himself. We were created to do that. And if it's not God, then it's going to be false religion of some type. This harlot is the mother of all false religions. Every cult is a part of this harlot. This great harlot that's in the second heaven is an amalgamation of the world system, politics, government, on all different levels, education, music, the arts, entertainment, kung fu, yoga, all of the things that people would get involved in this world system. All of this is a part of this great harlot. And it says the inhabitants of the earth are drunk. In other words, they're not even sober. They're intoxicated by this great harlot. She's got their attention, fashion, design, the whole world system. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. In other words, the devil can blow a wind and the whole world will sway with that wind. But the sad thing is the Christian sway right along with them. Unless there's enough God in you, enough righteousness in you, where you can resist that and not be a part of it. He says you're in this world, but not of this world. So you have this harlot, the Bible says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, literally, the kings, I want you to know that these kings are presidents, prime ministers, literal kings. They're the tops of every nation, the heads of every nation. They commit adultery or fornication, idolatry with this harlot. That's why we need to pray for those who are in authority. The kings of the earth commit fornication or idolatry with her, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So listen, look at verse 3. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And the wilderness just simply represents a behind the scenes. Moving in the spirit behind the scenes. And he showed me. He says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. A woman sitting on a red scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a cup, a golden cup, full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Now, this being arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls is symbolic of that she was very, very wealthy. Mammon was very much a part of this woman. So it was showing that she was very wealthy and she controlled commerce and economies, diamonds, gold, whatever creates oil, whatever creates wealth in the earth. She controlled it. She was adorned with it. And so these are the things that you need to be aware of. Because these people, these Bilderbergs, and these people who are in the natural, trillionaires, Rockefellers, these people think that they literally control or in control. These people are going to die. And when they die, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to burn in hell throughout all eternity. And when they die, their worm is not going to burn up. That's what Jesus said, where the worm dies not, the spirit will continue to live and burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You cannot destroy the spirit of a man, because the spirit of man came out of God. And you cannot destroy God. The spirit of man is the breath of God in him. And so Jesus said, where the worm dies not, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where they are thrown into the lake of fire. It would be good if they could burn up and cease to exist. But you're going to live forever. Forever. We can't comprehend it. Even this woman Jezebel will be forever. And the Bible calls her a woman, but she's a spirit. She's going to exist forever and ever, burning in the lake of fire. And many of us will have committed fornication with her. But somebody say, thank God for the blood. Because Paul says, such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. In the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. You've come out of her. Let's keep reading. So she was adorned, verse 4, with all of this, and she had a cup in her hand, a golden cup full of abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. This is a religious apostate church. Her daughters are sects, cults. And when I say sects, I'm not saying X-E-S. I'm saying S-E-C-T. Sect. Her daughter birthed. I'm going to tell you what one of the biggest parts of this great harlot is the Roman Catholic Church. One of the biggest parts of this great harlot. One of the biggest parts, people think that they are praying to Mary. They're praying to the Queen of Heaven, Diana of the Ephesians, Ishtar, all of these false idols are a part of this mystery Babylon. And this prophet Sundar said that Jesus told him that the Pope is the false prophet. And you remember the last time I taught this, I taught that there were three main players in the end time. In the book of Revelation, at the very end of the age. If the false prophet is already on the scene, you all, that means that the Antichrist is already on the scene. He's not yet manifest. He's not yet revealed, but he's got to be lurking somewhere. So you have the beast, you have the false prophet, and you have the Antichrist. This woman was sitting on the beast. She was sitting on a red beast. This very beast is going to destroy her. It's Satan. An idol is going to be raised up. The false prophet, which we believe is the Pope, he's going to raise up an idol. And this idol is going to become animated. And I was listening a couple of weeks ago, and they said, they were asking the question, why is it that the Roman Catholic Church in Rome, the Pope at the Vatican, had the largest conference on intelligence, artificial intelligence ever held. He had the largest conference, and he called the minds, the greatest minds from all over the planet to come and be a part of this conference. And they believe that he's going to use artificial intelligence to give this statue life. Brothers and sisters, this is already happening. I'm not talking about some fairy tale. I'm not talking about some sci-fi movie. This is already happening. This is already happening right now. The groundwork is being laid right now. Do you know why the economies of the world have been shut down through coronavirus? Do you know why that happened? To crash and bring all of the money to nothing. They're trying to hasten. They're trying to hasten, change times, and hasten the manifestation of the Antichrist. But the Antichrist is not going to come and set these things in order. He's not going to come and set a new world order in place. They're fasting now and praying to Lucifer for the new world order. The new world order is for all borders to be removed, for all nations to be, for there to be no nationalism, but for there to be a global world. One world government. A one world government will have to have somebody to be president over it. Who do you think that will be? The Antichrist. It won't be a whole bunch of presidents. Why do you think that they're crashing the economy? They want one world currency. It's happening. It's happening, and it can be as soon as next year. Our money is in so much trouble. President Trump is trying to hold this thing stable long enough to get put back in office. But it is crashed. It is worth nothing. And it's not just the United States. There has never been a time, never, on terra firma, where every nation in the whole world was shut down almost at the same time, where their money is worth almost nothing. The currencies of the world are worth almost nothing. The only thing that has value is silver and gold. That is true right now. And I was listening to Steve Quayle the other night, and he says, I would advise people that if you don't have much, at least send me your scrap silver or your scrap gold so I can sell it for you and get some food to you. He says, because it's going to be a food shortage like this world has never seen. See, he's one that did what I did and was preaching about this for years, and nobody listened to him. And he said that he backslid for a few years. He says, I'm not proud of it, but he became so discouraged. But God called him back, and he's going full force. And his ministry is now selling food just like Jim Baker. They're trying to shut Jim Baker completely down. But he also, too, was selling food. This man is saying, I know how to get food to you. Listen, brothers and sisters, hear me. Our food chain is going to break. It's still time. If you can't do nothing but store canned food, you need some food. You need silver. And you need gold. And if you don't have anything but gold jewelry, 10-carat jewelry, keep it. If that's all you got, keep it. Keep getting silver. Silver is still cheap, but it's still going to outperform gold. And I believe it's before we're out of here. That woman, this harlot, is controlling all of it. She's controlling all of the commerce. And listen, there's going to be a horse released that's going to bring famine on the earth, such as what we've not seen. I'm talking about the horses of the apocalypse, spiritually speaking. And so what we need to do is realize that somebody has not been telling us the truth. Somebody is lying. And I want you to know that the father of all lies is in control of the media. This woman, this scarlet woman, is in control of the news media. She's in control of social media. She's in control of the powers of the air. Sometimes these spirits even get to messing with your telephone. Sometimes they listening to you on your conversations. Sometimes you think you watching TV and TV's watching you. I'm telling you the truth. They're spying on you. We don't have as much liberty as we think. My sister got to studying some things, and when she was living with us, she had a TV in the room with her, and it got next to her so bad that she'd take a blanket and put it over the TV at night. She said, "This TV ain't gonna watch me." She takes her cell phone and puts it far away from her at night because it's cameras on it. And this 5G, you all? Do you all know anything about 5G? They're using this. And they said they're going to 6G next pretty quick. Messing with your brain. Messing with you. They are literally, and it's this woman. It goes back to this scarlet woman. I want to try to tell you everything, but I can't tell you everything, but I do want to tell you a few new things. Have I said the same message that I gave you the last time? Okay, it seems like to me it's the same message. I'm trying my best. I want to get over there to the juicy part. Look at, I read to you. On her forehead, she's called mystery. This word mystery means secret. She's a secret. You can't just see her with your natural eyes, but the Bible says she's there. There's a big old harlot living in the second heaven, controlling the affairs of men on earth, controlling kings and presidents. But she's not just messing with kings and presidents. She's got the inhabitants of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication. She knows just what it takes to get you, to make you where you are not fully sober, where you just intoxicated and just kind of stumbling through life and make somebody else's thinking for you. And you're not making the choices that you need to make. You're not making the decisions that you need to make. You're not planning. You just almost like you're under a spell. Going through the motions. Who hypnotized you? Who gave you the evil eye? Why do you get up like a puppet? On cue, yes. And go to the bathroom and wash up and go down the hall and drink some coffee and get in your car and drive to work, and go clock in, and go to your station, and work all day, till lunchtime, and go eat lunch. And after you eat lunch, you work until it's time to get off. Clock out, and go by McDonald's, or go on to Burger King, or go somewhere. Sometimes you go home, go and cook. And after you cook, you get on the couch, and watch the news. And after the news, Wheel of Fortune. After Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. And after Jeopardy, maybe a movie. And after a movie, you go and get in the bed, brush your teeth, wash your face, put on your pajamas, get in the bed, just like a robot. Nothing ever different. You're under a spell. Do something different. Amen. I break the power of that curse off of you. Amen. Come out of her, my people. That's what the word of God says. Lest you partake of her judgments. Come out from under the influence of this harlot. She's controlled you. Your life is yours to live. Uncle Joe used to say, children, I'm going to live till I die. I'm going to live fully. The world is big and dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Yes, miles to go before I sleep. So if you got miles to go, are you going to go under the spell of a harlot? She'll control you to where you won't make, you might as well not even be in the kingdom of God, because you won't make no difference. It won't be any light coming out of you. It won't make any difference that you're born again. You just go through life, and life will just happen to you. Yes, Bishop Ralph said, protesting with the world. Protesting with the world. And here you got the life of God in you. You can do more on your knees than they can do walking. They can walk for miles and miles and miles, and you can get on your knees. Listen to brothers and go into the realm of the spirit. I can run to a troop. I can leap over a wall. I can go into the White House. I can go into the God, wherever God wants me to go. I can go and I can bind principalities and powers. I can send angels to go and to do warfare. Listen, I got the word of God in me. I got the sword of the spirit. I got the name of Jesus. I got the blood of Jesus. Listen, I don't have to be walking around with a sign saying Black Lives Matter, because I can make all life matter. Listen, all lives matter. What do you want? After you've done all of this Black Lives Matter, what do you want? Black Lives Matter? Yes, Black Lives Matter. But what do you want? You're going to change. You're going to pull down all the statues of all these people who are back in the day heroes in this world system. But what difference does it make? You from another country. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Into the marvelous light. You've been called out of darkness. You are a light. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see. See, the world's got to see something. Your good works, and glorify God who is in heaven. You don't have to be big, somebody big in the world. You can be big in the kingdom. Some of the biggest people in the kingdom are nobodies in the world. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world. Brothers and sisters, if we just understood, you're going to have a lot of homeless people sitting on thrones in heaven, because they knew how to get a hold of Jesus. They knew how to have a little talk with Jesus. They knew how to lay hold of the horns of the altar. They knew how to break the powers of darkness. They knew how to share their little toast with somebody else. And I'm not talking about a toast of whiskey either. They knew how to share their bread. They knew how to give. God looks on the heart. They knew how to pray. Lord Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. But it's not just a little talk with Jesus. You go into the spirit realm. And you use the authority of Jesus. You use the name of Jesus. You use the word of Jesus. You are representatives of Jesus Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the hope of this world. You are the light of this world. You're not going to change much. You're not going to change much. Why? It would be like the children of Israel in Egypt trying to change Egypt. Why are you trying to change Egypt? Why are you trying to change Egypt? The world is passing away. The whole thing is on its way out. But we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we need to carry that authority, that kingdom authority. We need to open up our mouths and use the word. Nobody even has to hear you. You can be in a house by yourself, but you'll be heard in heaven. Nobody has to know you, but you'll be known in heaven. Nobody has to even see you, but you'll be seen in heaven, brothers and sisters, because you bring heaven to earth. You bring heaven to earth, as Amos was singing this morning. And not just in music, but in the way that we live and move and have our being. I'm telling you, our presence ought to change the atmosphere where we go. The atmosphere should change. If it's a lot of hell in the atmosphere, when you show up, it's some calm ought to come on the scene. Peace, joy. If nothing else, people ought to just shut up. Because you showed up. Lord Jesus, have I gone too long? I'm going to try to read this. I haven't got, am I ever going to get over to chapter 18? It says in chapter 17, verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. This scarlet woman had been sucking on the blood like a vampire. She'd been drinking the blood of saints and the blood of the martyrs. Do you know that aborted babies are just martyred? Aborted babies, she drinks the blood of the saints. She drinks the blood of aborted babies. She drinks the blood of martyrs. Do you know that I heard Steve Quayle say this last night? He said, I have just as much scripture to prove that there is a post-rapture as you have to prove that there's a pre-rapture, pre-trib rapture. He says, I have just as much scripture to prove that there's a post-trib rapture. There's a lot of scriptures that you can take and prove that there's a mid-trib rapture. So this is what I want to say to you all. Because it's not just etched in stone, you need to live in such a way that you're ready for whenever it comes. That you are ready. And that's why I said have the conversation. Because if they come to you and you can't buy or sell, listen, we are going into right now. That's why they're crashing all money. I said that a while ago. They're crashing money all over the planet. We are going into electronic money. That's where they're going. Electronic money. That's where we're going. Electronic money is already the credit card. There are very few people that write out checks anymore. And so they're already using the credit card. But the credit card, you know, it's going to get to the place, because they're saying that there's coming plagues that are much worse than the corona. We are entering into, it's not very long before we're entering into the tribulation period. If we're not already, we're on the precipice of it. We're right there. If you slipped a little bit, you might just already be there. We're on the precipice of the tribulation period. And so we got to have the electronic money. And they say that there are going to be plagues, and that's one of the signs of the end time. There are going to be plagues that are so bad that they're going to be flesh-eating plagues. They literally eat people's flesh. And brothers and sisters, it's going to get to the place where they're not going to want to handle cash or credit cards. So then how are you going to buy or sell? You're going to have to choose to take that little chip. Right? You're going to swipe it. Just swipe it. Which hand is it in? The right hand. Just swipe your hand. Or your forehead. They just take that thing and put it up. Where's Sister Mickey? She'd been going around taking everybody's temperature. They'll be doing that to you in the grocery store. But if you have that in you, you are damned to hell. Because in that chip is 666. So think about this. The number of a man, that's what the Bible says. But think about this. Have this conversation with your children. If you get to the place where you see your children starving and you cannot feed them without taking that chip, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? You see your children's belly begin to swell. They are so hungry. You better have these conversations. What you gonna do? Baby, daddy loves you. And I want you to know that they might come and cut my head off, because I'm not going to take this mark in my hand. And the only way that we can be saved is we're going to have to go through this. But it ain't going to last long. If we have to get our heads cut off, this is what gets me excited. I've heard several testimonies of people talk about that Jesus told them, I will take you out of your body before you ever feel the pain. I will take you out of your body. I will not allow you to feel the pain of that experience. If you can just hold on a few minutes, a few seconds, if you can just hold on, I'm going to meet you on the other side. But they can kill our bodies, but they can't kill our soul. They can't kill our spirit. But we might have to go through some things. We might have to suffer some things. We might have to love to be taken out before all of this starts. But brothers and sisters, it's already starting. The groundwork is already laid for the Antichrist. The one world government, they're fasting for it now. The Luciferians are fasting for it now. Why haven't they been doing this? This is the time. This is the time. The Pope is on the scene. He's the one world. He is the false prophet. And so all we're looking for now, we're looking for the Antichrist, and we know that beast is going to be raised up by the Pope, and the Pope is going to use artificial intelligence and make that thing come alive, and everybody on earth is going to be made to bow down and worship it. I know I got to stop, Bishop Ralph. I know that's what that means. You ain't gonna say it. You forgot it. That's because the Holy Spirit made you forget it. I saw the woman drunk. It says in verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. I marveled when I saw her drunk. Listen. This great harlot is going to be judged. This great harlot, which is the amalgamation of all that this world is, the best that this world has to offer, this great harlot is going to be judged. And all the merchants of the earth are going to lament and mourn and weep, because she's coming down, the Bible said, in 1 hour. That'll be the next message, I guess. Did you learn anything new that you didn't know the last time? Because I really intended to get over into the juicy part. But I just want you to know that the stage is set. Get your house in order. Talk to your family. Talk to your children. Somebody ought to know about your insurance policy. Somebody ought to know. You ought to have some, you ought to have a living will. You ought to have a power of attorney. You ought to have a beneficiaries. And you ought to have, what is that fourth one? The one who oversees your affairs. The executive. You should have that in place. If you died, if you went on to be with the Lord, and people think, well, that don't make no difference really to me because I'm young. Listen, it's not like that anymore. Anytime now, you can be called home. But I believe the rapture is getting ready to come. I really do. But I believe before we're raptured, we're going through some things. We are going through some things. Don't let nobody fool you. And if you die before your husband, if in this tribulation time you're called on to be a martyr, before the great tribulation, what do you want your wife to do? What do you want done with your children? Where do you keep your information? Do you have a safe? Do you have a post office box? Do you have somewhere that you'll leave all the information that somebody needs to know? I was listening to a story about one particular woman, and I'm finished, but her husband died prematurely, and she didn't know anything. He paid all the bills. He did all the insurance. He did everything. He got the plots. They did have funeral plots and all of that. She didn't know anything. One of the cruelest things in the world is to be, and this is for your parents, your family, your loved one, somebody needs to know your business. Somebody needs to know. And you know what? Before they can know your business, you got to have some business. You have to take the time to get your business together. Get your house in order. Get your house in order. Prepare yourselves. Prepare your families. Talk. Have the conversations. Say the things that you always intended to say. Say them. Don't just hold them in your mind to yourself. Say them. Write them down. Get a spiral. Write down things. Tell them what you want. Because we just traveling through, we just pilgrims. Let's stand to our feet this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. I want to ask this question. With every head bowed, if you were to die today, is your house in order? If you were to die today, number one, is it well with your soul? Are you ready to meet your maker? Have you gotten things right with Jesus? If you were to die today, have you taken your time to get your house in order, your business in order? Have you tied up the knots? Have you tied up the bows? Have you crossed the T's and dotted the I's? Every head bowed. Well, nobody looking around at nobody else. If you say, Bishop Margaret, my house is not in order. I'm not even quite sure where to start. But I can say this. My house is not in order. Number one, is there anybody, if you die today, you're not sure you'd go be with the Lord? You're not right in your spirit. Okay, that's taken care of. Everybody in the room, you know your name is written in heaven. Okay. If you were to die today, do you have your business in order? Do you have somebody who knows what you would want taken care of? Because it's not easy wrapping a person's life up. It's not easy. So do you have it written out? Do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney? Do you have beneficiaries? Have you written out what you want done with your children? If you haven't, raise your hand up before the Lord right now, all over the room. Your business is not in order. How many of you know that God is a God of business? You know what Jesus said? He said, do business until I come. Take care of business. Let's just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I realize that I have not taken care of business. I'm too attached to this world. I have not done the necessary things to leave this world. I ask you to forgive me for not being a good steward. And Lord, with your help and with your mercy, I will begin to get my life in order. I realize that we are at the end of the age and we can all be gone any day now. So Lord, I want to live in such a way that when I am gone, I have taken care of business. I commit it to you. And I thank you for the help and the resources to get my life in order. In the name of Jesus. Amen.